All right, so tonight we're looking again this book called Law. Gives the principles of biblical behavior modification, written by Steve Carrington of RU Recovery Ministries. And just kind of as a review, last week, remember we studied God's system of management, how He created us to function. Okay, so we learned a big word called trichotomy. What does that mean? Anybody remember? Yes, that's how it's supposed to work. Trichotomy means we're made up of three parts. Three parts are spirit, soul, body, and that's the order that you're supposed to function. Okay, God communes, the Holy Spirit of God communes with our spirit. Okay, God is the owner, and the spirit is to basically act as like the master, right? The employer. Then the spirit speaks to the soul, and soul is essentially like the manager. Okay, and we get direction, and so the spirit speaks to the mind, the will, the emotions, convinces us of a path to take. And so then the body is to be essentially the servant or the employee, that as it the spirit knows what the will of God is and communicates that to the soul, then the soul gets the body to carry out the will of God. That's what God wants us, how God wants us to live. That's how we're to manage our lives. Okay? And so that's from the very beginning. But we're going to look today at an idea about freedom and understanding freedom as God gives it, as God defines it, as it actually works or should work in practice. Okay? So what we're going to begin with is we're going to look at the text, Genesis 2, verses 15 to 17, okay? So Genesis 2, verses 15 to 17, and we want to just kind of, we're going to really take these verses apart and kind of understand what it's talking about. So Genesis 2 verses 15 to 17, it says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Okay? And so, on your outline there, we see the first one is that God never leaves us without direction. Okay? We always, and that's kind of the sad thing, is a lot of times people are struggling to find purpose and direction in their lives. And God always communes with us and lays out to us what our purpose is, what our direction should be in life. Okay? And so, from the very beginning of creation, we see that God gave Adam a job to perform. Okay? That He told him specifically what He wanted him to do. Okay? That He said, okay, I've made this garden, and you have a responsibility, Adam, and it is to dress it and to keep it. Okay? He was to look after the garden, and of course, at that time, blessing was there wasn't any weeds, there wasn't any like funguses that would attack things, there wasn't any like insects that you would have to deal with on the trees, right? Basically, he's fertilizing it, he's making sure that it's looked after and enabled to be as fruitful as possible. That was his job, okay? But we see that as he gave him a job, he also placed boundaries on Adam's behavior. And so he told Adam what he could do and what he could not do. And so we see what he says there, that he gave Adam permission to eat from any of the trees of the garden. He says, of all the trees in the garden, thou mayest freely eat. So we see that's freedom. Okay? And what a blessed freedom that is to be able to partake of all these variety of trees, right? And so let's just think about that for a minute, okay? If there's all these fruit trees, what kind of fruits would he have a chance to eat? Can you kids? What kind of fruit? Apples. Any other kind of fruit?
Pears.
Peaches. Plums. Okay.
Oranges.
Grapes.
Bananas.
Grapefruit. Kiwi.
Olives.
Well, those aren't really fruit, but yeah, I guess. Yeah, they do grow on a tree, so you probably could eat olives. Yes?
Saskatoons.
Dragon fruit, probably. Saskatoons, probably. What's that?
Plums,
yeah. That was our passion fruit, yeah. So you think all these trees, abundance of trees, they could freely eat. He didn't have to go to the grocery store and buy them. He could just eat them fresh off the tree. Yes? What's that? Rambutans? Probably them too, yeah. So just imagine all these different fruits. So he freely eats. So what a blessing. What great freedom. Yep, cherries too. Okay. So a lot of freedom. But then we see that after that, God followed the gift of freedom with a restriction. Okay? And that's the second thing we understand. Freedom is always followed with restrictions. Okay? He said, you can eat of all these trees, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Okay? That, and he gives a consequence if you step across that restriction, if you ignore that restriction, step across that boundary. Yes, Caleb, did you have a question? Okay, well, we just went through that. God never leaves us without direction. Yeah. And then the second one is God commanded Adam in the Garden of Eden what he wanted him to do. Okay, so in a way, as we think about this, this seems contradictory. So if you're giving someone freedom, why would you follow it with a restriction? Okay? And that's something that we struggle to understand, and in our society we think if I have freedom, that means I have the right to do whatever I want, and nobody can say anything about it. And a lot of people pursue this idea of complete freedom and liberation, okay? And but we want to understand the truth that freedom is measured by its boundaries, okay? And so we want to understand how that works. Because see, Steve Currington, he was raised in a Christian home, attended Christian school, and he was under different rules of conduct of how he was to conduct himself. And to him, when he was young, those rules seemed so restrictive. And he had the thought that because of these rules, he was being kept in bondage. And his thought was, once he graduated, he's going to move out of home, move away from being under the Christian school, and he's going to break loose from all these rules and regulations and really be free. But the thing is that any time you violate the boundaries God has set, you don't find freedom. What actually happens is you exchange your boundaries for bondage. Okay? And so we want to understand that how it works, that freedom is only found within God's boundaries. And it's kind of a way you could think of it is this way. In our society, okay, we have things like freedom of speech, right? But that doesn't mean you can say absolutely anything without any consequence. Because if you lie about someone and damage their reputation, you can be sued for libel or slander, right? If you're calling on the genocide of a certain group of people, that you can be punished for hate speech, right? That there's different things like that that we understand. And it's kind of the thing is that you have freedom, but there's restrictions. And we always fight against those restrictions and say we should have none. But we want to realize that's not the way it works, not the way that it should work. And so it's this thought that knowing God's freedom and how it works is the first step. Okay? So that's what we understand, how it works. Okay? This freedom is only found within God's boundaries. And every time you step out of those boundaries, you're placing yourself in bondage. And there's no freedoms anywhere in life that do not have boundaries attached to them. And so this is a thought that Steve Kerrigan gives, that when they had their first child, and we can think of it with Joseph, right? When he's very little, okay? That it's something that we don't give him a whole lot of freedom because we know that, one, he can't do a lot. Two, he's not capable of being able to do things safely by himself, right? And so the thing is that at the beginning, a baby has a place that they're in that is safe, okay? And it's their crib, right? Or their their car seat or the playpen or whatever it is, right? They have this place where they're safe, okay? And they can do many things, and as he gets older, there's going to be things he can do. He can crawl around and do a few things. He can sleep there and different things. But he's restricted, right? But then as a baby grows, they have more freedom, right? They get to have more space to move around. And so as a child learns to walk, then they have more freedom. They can move around in the house, but yet there's boundaries put up for the safety of the child, right? If there's stairs, they have these baby gates that go over them, right? Because there's, you don't want the child going down the stairs because they could get hurt with that. There might be on cabinets, there might be locks on the cabinets, right? Because there might be stuff that's poisonous in those cabinets that you don't want the child to get to, right? And so there's freedom, right? And so it's more freedom than what they were in the playpen, okay? And so, but then as a child gets older, right, and learns how to navigate the stairs safely, and learns how not to mess around with poison that's underneath the sink, that they have more freedom. It's like, okay, well, can I go outside, Mommy? And Mommy says, okay, yes, but stay off the road, stay in the yard, okay? So you have more area, more freedom, but there's a boundary, right? It stops at the road, okay? You stay off the road so you don't get run over, okay? And so then as a person grows and there's more trust, then for your kids to say, okay, well, you can go down the road, because you know to get off the road if a vehicle's coming, and you can go to the correction line, right? You can take your bicycles and you can go quite a ways, or you show yourself trustworthy, you can drive to the Clausens and bring them cookies, or to the Beaujolais and visit with them, right? But there's a limit to how far you can go. As you get a little older, and like Alicia, when you get to be able to drive, right? Then we'd say, okay, you've got a license, you've proven yourself trustworthy, that you can go to town and back. Okay, we're not going to let you go to like drive cross country to Georgia to visit grandma when you're like 16, right? But we are, if you've shown yourself trustworthy, the boundaries get stretched further, okay? And eventually you might say, okay, now you can go to Saskatoon, or now you can go to Nan and Granddad's, right? There's different things that as you prove yourself, as you show yourself faithful, then there's more freedom, boundaries are enlarged, right? And so, but the problem is, for instance, for Steve Carrington, that he was told by his parents when he was younger, okay, well, you can go out and play, but you have to stay in the neighborhood. But what happened is his dad was driving home from work and saw him outside of the neighborhood. So then what happened? It's like, okay, well, because you didn't do what I said, you're restricted to the yard until you've proven that you can obey, okay? And for him, that he got his license and started driving, yes? Yeah, eventually, if you're really bad. Okay, but it's kind of the thing. Like, he got his driver's license, he got a car, and he was driving, but then what happened is he didn't follow the rules. He was speeding, and so he got pulled over, and because he didn't follow the rules, then he had his license suspended. And so for 6 months, he couldn't drive a vehicle. He had, if he wanted to go anywhere, he had to go on a bike because he didn't have a license to drive, okay? And so it's kind of in the same way a child of God grows in God's Word just as an infant has to grow physically. And as you grow, there's more freedom that's given. But if you misuse and abuse the freedom that you're given, then what's going to happen is you're going to lose freedom and there's going to be more boundaries, right? And so we want to understand the truth that freedom is measured by its boundaries, okay? Not by the absence of boundaries. And that's a mistake that a lot of people make. And the lie that they fall prey to of the devil, that it's like, well, you should be able to be free without restrictions. Okay, Sam, stay inside. And so the choice you make is either to respect the boundaries or to ignore them, okay? And the difference is between choosing true freedom through respecting the boundaries or rejecting those boundaries and exchanging true freedom for bondage, okay? And so it's something to think about. God told Adam not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree was in the middle of the garden and it represented the only boundary in Adam's world, okay? So that fruit of that tree, we want, and this is something we'll be thinking about more, that it offered man the ability to be led from a source other than God, okay? So the wrong choice would give the mind, will, emotions of man, his soul, the desire to think, want, and feel things that were different from what God designed. Okay? That it was a knowledge of good and evil. And it wasn't something that God... And we understand that God wants us to be wise concerning what is good, but simple concerning that's what's evil, that we don't have to know that. And this idea, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil... Steve Pennington says we could refer to it as the tree of information, okay? That the knowledge that could be gained by eating the fruit would make man like God. And it's always, a lot of times what gets us into trouble is this curiosity, this desire to know and experience things, being convinced that we're missing out on something, right? And so we want to be wary of that, okay? And so, by eating this fruit, in a way would make man like God. And that's what the devil told Eve, and as he did so, he was using part of the truth to sell his deception. And the difference is that the tree of information would make man like God in his own power, but not in God's power. And so God, we understand God wants us to be like him, but he wants us to do it according to his design, to be like him in his power, and not to be try to do that in our own power. Okay? So God was so strong against man, abusing his freedom and choosing to eat from the tree, that he told Adam that in the day that he did, he would surely die. Okay? So there was, he didn't leave much room for misinterpretation there. There wasn't ambiguity about his instructions, okay? And so he gave this instruction to Adam. And at this point, we realize Eve has not yet been created. But Eve was responsible for obeying it, because we find later she was punished when she violated the commandment. From the text, we actually see that Eve didn't maybe have the full details of what God actually instructed, and that may have been a result of her husband failing to actively teach her the words of God. And so when the serpent came, she didn't reject the temptation. And so then what happened is the measured freedom that God had given to man had its boundaries violated. And so that violation was caused by an outside pressure that took advantage of Eve's weak personal relationship with God. And so that outside pressure is what we're going to learn about next week, is the devil's system of management. Okay? So, we think of that. And so, just like with Adam and Eve, we realize the devil's tactics are always being set before us. Okay? That in many ways, what we see here in Genesis, there is much that we can learn from it to warn us, and so we avoid the devil's temptations. And the problem is that we don't generally focus and understand what lessons we do need to learn. So we understand that just like the devil tempted Eve in the garden, he will tempt you. Okay? And so there's going to be different things where he's going to try to lead you astray. He's going to put outside pressure on you. He's going to try to twist God's word or try to challenge God's word to get you to do something else. And and it's kind of the thing we find with Eve, that she needed to... Her not quite knowing the truth was a bit of a problem, because she heard this thing that you can't eat it or touch it lest you die. That's what Adam told her. Was that accurate? That did God say, "Don't, if you touch the tree, you die"? If you eat of it, you shall die. Okay. And Adam, and this might have been just him thinking this would be a good idea. Okay, well, if you never touch it, then there's never going to be, you're never going to eat it, right? And so this will be like an extra protection, all right? But the problem was, is in Eve's thought, it was like, okay, if I even touch it, I'm going to be dead, right? So the devil's telling her, well, God's lying to you, you're not going to die. And you take this and you're going to, because God's knowing good and evil. So what happened is she reached up and she touched it and she didn't die. So she thought, oh, the devil was right, God's a liar. But then she went crunch and ate it, and right away what happened? She died, just like God said. Yes, Chris? What's that? Spiritually, yeah, she didn't fall down dead. We know that. She died spiritually, and that's what we're going to understand in the next couple lessons. She died spiritually at that moment, okay, her and Adam. And God was not a liar. Exactly what God said would happen, happened, okay? And David, or not David, Adam, not giving quite the right information was a problem, right? And so knowledge in God's word will keep you inside God's boundaries, okay? That we know, we think of it, God gives us direction, what he wants us to do, okay? And it's very clear in that, that we're to be kind one to another, that we're to serve God, we're to serve others, we're to love God, we're to love others as ourselves. We're to be, we're to do good works to people. We're to be compassionate and helpful, right? Those are things that we should do. That's our direction. And then he gives us a lot of freedom of things that we can enjoy in life. And but then he always gives different restrictions, different boundaries. Says, don't violate this boundary, okay? And it's a place of safety. It's a place of blessing. Okay? And we want to understand the measured freedom that God gives us must not be violated. Whenever we violate the boundaries God has laid out, there's always serious consequences. Okay? And when we tend to resist the boundaries, and we think, well, I want freedom. I want to go past this boundary. I don't want to be restricted by it. But we don't exchange God's measured freedom for more freedom. What always happens is we exchange God's measured freedom for bondage. And so that's what we want to understand. Okay? So any questions? No? Alright, well that's the lesson for this evening. And so let's just close in prayer and then we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time and we just pray you would help us to value the freedom you've given us, to trust you for the boundaries that you've laid out in our lives, and help us to not be deceived by the devil and exchange your boundaries for bondage. Just help us to understand this for our own sake and so that we may help others as well. And we just pray your blessing on us. Give us safety as we head home. And bless the week to come, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.